Good to see all of you here tonight. It's good to see Gene back tonight in the house of God. Amen. And we're going to go to the word of the Lord. I just feel like going to the word here tonight. And this is not going to quench anything that God is doing right now. But there is a complement to the word of God, or to the move of the Spirit of God. And it's the word of God. Luke chapter 8. And verse 22, Luke chapter 8 and verse 22, thank you for standing in honor to the word of God tonight. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad, and I'm not criticizing anyone that does, but I'm glad we don't put the scriptures up on the wall. Amen. We need to open up our Bible and find out where it's at for ourselves. Because you won't have it up on the wall on your job or anywhere else. Amen. But we need to get it into our hearts. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he, that would be Jesus, went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. That would be Jesus. And there came down a storm of wind, on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And he said unto them, Where is your faith? I want to say that again. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? Say that with me tonight. Where is your faith? It makes a difference where your faith is. Where is your faith? And they began, and they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Well, praise God. God's good to us tonight. Let's pray and ask the Lord to anoint his word. Jesus, we lean on you tonight. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. Move of your spirit tonight in this place. Speak to us by the word of God, that our experience will be founded on a solid foundation of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I pray that the word of the Lord will complement the move of God that we feel here. Amen. And God's not finished here tonight. You know, it's essential that we have a clear understanding of who Jesus Christ is. There are those that look at him and say that he is purely a historical figure, and that he was just another man on the scene of history. To others, they say that he is an angel. Some believe that he is Michael the archangel. We don't believe that. Praise the Lord. But if he was an angel, he would not be able to provide our redemption and our salvation, because as an angel, he would be under the authority of another. Amen. And when we know who he is, then we can begin to see what he wants to do in our life. Amen. Because he is not an angel. He is not just a man or a historical figure. But he was and he is tonight God manifest in the flesh. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want to preach a little bit here tonight if the Lord will help me. Amen. Because when we look at him, we look at the manifestation of God to this world. Praise God. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, for it is interpreted God with us. Amen. God is with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Spirit of God is in this house tonight. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "For in him," that would be in Jesus Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Amen. If we get a hold of the understanding of that scripture tonight, it will inspire faith and will never leave you all the days of your life. Praise God. Because tonight we are complete in him. Scripture doesn't say that we are complete in them, but we are complete in him. Amen. Who is that him? Brother Reed preached about it this morning a little bit. Amen. And the greatest scripture in the Bible, I'm sure you know where that's found, the greatest commandment in the scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Amen. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength." Praise God. And so God revealed himself in the Old Testament as one God. The Jews were purely monotheistic in that they just simply believed in one God. And I'll tell you what, there are many places, there are some that I have read about in which the front of the temple where they worship has the carvings of at least a million gods. And once you get away from one God, you can go to a multitude of gods. But tonight we're worshiping one God. Amen. The God that created everything in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. Amen. In the beginning, God. And in the beginning of your New Testament experience, it was God. Amen. Wasn't anything else. In the beginning was God. And if you're going to start with anything in your life, start it with God. Amen. Don't start it with anything else, but start it with God. Amen. If you're going to start a family, start it with God. Amen. If you're going to start a business, start it with God. If you're going to start a church, start it with God. Amen. Because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Praise God. And tonight we are complete. The church is complete. Individual saints are complete. Everything worldwide in God's kingdom is complete in him. Amen. Which is the head of all principality and power. Praise God. And so in this and many, many other scriptures, I want to look at a few others here tonight, we can understand who has all the power. Praise God. We're not here tonight to hype anybody up. We're not here to try to make any kind of presentation. If you notice, we don't have props on the platform, and we don't have a lighting session, practice session, so at a certain point in the preaching of the word, the lights come on and things begin to happen. I'm telling you what, tonight, and forgive me, I'm not upset, I'm in a real good mood here tonight, but that is not a move of God. Praise the Lord. Well, somebody said praise the Lord. Amen. It's still the same message that it was way back then. Amen. Same gospel, same message. And the Lord said, "Seek ye the old paths, wherein is the good way, and you will find rest for your soul." Praise God. I don't know why I'm harping on this here tonight, but if we were able tonight to get everyone excited by things that go on and all the things that I've talked about, you really wouldn't be in a place of victory in your life, because all of those things are not going to be with you when you walk out the door of the church. Amen. But tonight when we walk out the door of the church, amen, we want to be able to say, God has met with us, and I'm taking him with me when I leave the house of God. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've got some predictions here tonight. I want to make some predictions. And it doesn't matter what's going to happen in the election. It doesn't matter what's going to happen tomorrow. Doesn't matter what the president does or doesn't do. I've got some predictions here tonight. Amen. Number one, the Bible will still have all the answers. Amen. Praise God. Number two, prayer will still work. Simple, is it? But it's powerful. Amen. The Holy Ghost is still going to move. Amen. Number four, God will still inhabit the praises of his people. Amen. You have any praise for God tonight? My fifth prediction is there will still be God-anointed preaching. Hallelujah. Number six, they'll still be singing praises of God. Amen. God will still pour out blessings upon his people. Amen. Well, hallelujah. These are predictions that I'm making here tonight. Amen. Number eight, there'll still be room at the cross. Number nine, Jesus will still love you. Well, praise God. Last but not least, Jesus will still save the lost if they turn to him. Well, come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life, God is in control. Amen. But what we've got to ask ourselves tonight is, where is my faith? Where is my faith? Amen. And when we look at Scripture here tonight, we've got to first understand who has all the power. Amen. The power of God is not divided up by two persons. Come on, somebody. It is not divided up by three persons. It is not divided up by anything else. But the power that caused the universe to come into existence comes from one source. Amen. One source, and that source is God Almighty. Amen. And so when we see this, then we have a place to go in the time of trouble. Amen. In the time of need in our life, whatever that need is, when we know where the power is, we can go to that source and we can find help in the time of need. Amen. And there is none above him. Amen. For the weary, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise God. He didn't say we will give you rest. He said I will give you rest. Amen. To the thirsty in John chapter 7 and verse 37. Now, if y'all get with me, I might just haul off and preach here tonight. We may not get off of this scripture right here. John 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I feel those rivers here tonight. Amen. We must believe on him as the scripture hath said, and great and mighty things will take place. Well, praise God. Where is your faith tonight? I'll tell you where my faith is. It's in the name of Jesus and the power of God and a move of God. Because it's all in him tonight. The power of God resides in him and him alone. You're not going to find the answer with money. You're not going to find the answer with possessions. You're not going to find the answer by man's logic. Praise God that you're going to find it in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the book of Acts chapter 19, we see this about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as Scripture hath said." And so it's not the way man says, but it's the way Scripture says. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Now, what kind of question is that? I thought everybody had the Holy Ghost when they believe. "And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Amen. They didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost, but they had believed. They had believed something. And I want to preach tonight about where is your faith. And it makes a difference where we place our faith tonight. "And we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." We don't know what you're talking about. We don't have any idea what you're saying. Amen. And so he says to them in verse 3, "Unto what then were you baptized?" Amen. And here's why there is a move of God where truth is preached. Amen. It's because when we baptize, we must baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Not in a Trinitarian Godhead, but in the name of Jesus. Right. "And he said unto them, How were you baptized? Unto what were you baptized?" They said, "Unto John's baptism." Now Paul is going to school them a little bit on what happened at John's baptism. "Then said Paul, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." And so we have a group here that are meeting together, and they are disciples. They are disciples of John the Baptist, and they had been baptized by John the Baptist. Some say that baptism is not important. Jesus said, "Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And the scripture that was quoted this morning, I believe, Mark chapter 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." I'm going to talk about this here for just a little bit because it's very, very vital where we put our faith. Amen. Because we all need salvation, and our faith has got to be in the right place. So here they were. They were meeting together to worship God. They had been baptized by John the Baptist, but they did not know anything about the Holy Ghost. They did not know anything about a move of God. And then when they heard this in verse 5, they were baptized. Now, we could look at this very correctly here tonight, and we could say that they were rebaptized, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. You're going to find in the book of Acts and anywhere else in Scripture that when the early church, you'll find this in the history books as well, but that's not as certain as the Word of God. Everywhere you look, you'll find that the early church baptized exclusively in the name of Jesus Christ. Not just baptism, but it's for the remission or for the washing away of our sins. Amen. When they heard this, they were rebaptized, or they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Amen. Praise God. They received the Spirit of God, the resurrection power. Amen. But not only that, they were washed clean of their sins when they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so when we believe on Him as the Scripture hath said, amen, we must look to see what the Scripture has to say. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, if you'll turn with me tonight, and I know this is elementary and this is basic doctrine, but it is so very, very powerful, and it is very important where we put our faith. Amen. Chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all. Everybody said that. Everybody. Everybody was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, praise God. That's the birthday of the New Testament church. That's the very first day that the church had a service and worshiped God in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And that they received this powerful experience with God, filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak in other tongues. And there were people that was coming around on the day of Pentecost, and they were coming to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And when it was noised abroad in verse 6, the multitude came together, and they were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And then it goes on down to verse 11. It names the different languages. And verse 11, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Now look at this, verse 13. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Praise God. They're laying on the floor. They're jumping up and down. They're lifting their hands and praising God. Amen. It wasn't dead, dry, dull, and boring. Praise God, when those people that didn't have any idea what was going on looked in there, they said they're having a drunken party. Praise God. I wonder tonight, are we convicted of that? Amen. Are we guilty of that tonight? I think we are in a measure, but God wants to give us in a greater measure of the move of His Spirit. It just makes a difference where our faith is. Where is your faith tonight? Is your faith exclusively in the Word of God? I pray that it is tonight. Peter, standing up in verse 14, stood up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And so for 3 hours they were worshiping God. Amen. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Here's what Joel said. Joel chapter 2 verse 22. And we're not going to turn there tonight, but just as a reference to where it's at. And here's what Joel said, "And it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." That is the fulfillment. He said, this is that. This what you're seeing, this what you're hearing, this what is going on is a direct fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, where he said God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And when God pours out his spirit upon all flesh, and that flesh has his faith in God, then Pentecost is going to happen there again. Well, praise the Lord, and we feel a bit of it here tonight. And he preached all the way down through verse 36. And in verse 36, he said that they were the ones that had crucified and murdered the Lord Jesus Christ. When they heard this, oh God, give us conviction in our generation. Give us ears to hear. If you have ears to hear tonight, and you put your faith totally and completely in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know there is nothing that God cannot do in your life. Amen. He will bless you greatly. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Praise God. What shall we do? Where are we going to put our faith? Where is our hope going to be placed? What are we going to do in this new faith that has come upon the scene here? And said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter, he's standing up with the 11. So Matthew was there, Luke was there, John was there, Mark was there. And there was no conflict what Peter preached. But what Peter preached was the very first gospel message in the New Testament. Now I'm just going to work on this for a minute, if y'all will be in prayer and help me with this. The gospel, Paul talked about the gospel. Many people today will say the gospel is good news. Yes, it's good news. But that's not the gospel. The gospel, Paul said in one place, is by which we are saved. We are saved by the gospel. Amen. And then he said, wherein we stand. So we stand in the gospel. Amen. It's basic, but it is very powerful. It is a rock that we're standing on tonight, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so the gospel, according to the Apostle Paul, is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. You say, well, how do I obey that? The only way we can obey that is by doing it scripturally. Amen. We die with him, we are buried with him, and we rise with him. That's how the gospel is affected to our life and brought to us, and the power of God will move through the preaching of the gospel. We don't need a whole lot of tinsel. We don't need a whole lot of froth. Amen. We don't need a whole lot of things to get us excited. What we need is to place our faith in the gospel. Amen. The only gospel. The Bible calls it the eternal gospel. Praise God, it's the foundation upon which we stand tonight. Amen. I'm standing, you're sitting, but you're sitting on it too. Praise God. And whatever happens, we go back to where we started on this. Amen. Whatever happens in our life, whatever happens in the church, whatever happens on the job, amen, no matter what is happening, we've got to go back to the foundation of what God gave to us in the very beginning. I died with him. Sometimes we got to die daily. Praise God. We die with him. And so Peter here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, he gives them the essence of the gospel and how to obey the gospel. Peter said to them, now remember they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Amen. If you get your Bible and look in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, it says we are crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Right. Amen.
That's not real beautiful, is it? Amen. Calvary was not very beautiful. The shedding of blood was not very beautiful. And when we come to a place of real, genuine repentance, it's as though we take the Word of God and we hold it up to ourselves like a mirror, and we look at what we see in the mirror and we say, I don't like what I see. I don't like the way I'm living. I don't like the sin that's in my life. I'm going to turn from my sin. The word repent there in the Greek is metanoeo, and it means to make a turn. Amen. And they would march, and they would go left, right, metanoeo, and they would do an about face, and they would begin to march in the other direction. Repentance is exactly that. If we are going to have God's miracles in our life, we're going to have to answer that question that Jesus asked the disciples, where is your faith?
Right.
Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Everybody said baptized. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Praise God. Repentance turns us. If I could just work on this a little bit here tonight, if y'all will help me. When we are walking towards sin, if that speaker is sin and self, and this one over here is God, when we are walking towards sin, the light gets dimmer and the darkness gets greater and greater and greater. But repentance helps us to turn. We turn in repentance, and we may be a million miles away from the light, and the light may be just a little bitty thing in the future, or out in the distance rather. And we take a step, the light gets brighter. We take a step, the light gets brighter. We take another step and another step. That's why Scripture says that the path of the just is as the shining light, which shineth more and more unto that perfect day. I'm walking with God, and it's going to get brighter. Amen.
Amen.
Friend, it's going to get brighter in your life.
Amen.
Praise God. If you're walking toward Him, it's going to get brighter. And when we repent, we have turned ourselves. Amen. And we are starting toward God. But then Peter said, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Matthew, keep your finger there in Acts chapter 2. We're going to work on this a little bit tonight. Matthew chapter 28. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is exciting.
Amen.
Matthew 28, verse 16. And the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore. It connects, the two things connect each other with the word therefore. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Praise God. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the 11 disciples. Judas had killed himself, and they had not replaced him yet. And so Matthew was there. Mark was there. Luke was there. John was there. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, was there. Amen. And they heard the words of Jesus Christ. But he said, go and teach all nations. What are they going to teach them? They're going to teach them the gospel. Praise the Lord. And he said it in other places, go and preach the gospel. And so he said, baptize them in the name. Somebody said the name. The name. We know tonight that Father is not a name, it is a title. We know tonight that Son is not a name, it is a title. We know that Holy Ghost is not a name, it is a title. But he said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Amen. What is the name of the Father? I've asked some scholarly people that. When I first came to God, I was raised as a Catholic boy and had never read the Word of God. And when truth came to me, I went back and I asked some of the leaders in the church about some of these things. And one of the things that I asked was, what is the name of the Father? Can you tell me what the name of the Father is? And I could not get an answer out of them. One of them said, well, I guess his name is God. Amen. But that's not his name. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name. Everybody said his name. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Well, praise God. We need to be excited about this. You know why? Because the name of the Father is Jesus. He would be called the Everlasting Father. And not only that, his name is Jesus as the Son, and he is Jesus as the Holy Ghost. He said, I will pour out my Spirit. I will send the Holy Ghost in my name. And so we know tonight that there is no salvation in titles, but there is only salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. There's only one God, and his name is one. And that name is Jesus Christ. Oh, at least I had all night. Amen, but I don't. Excuse me. And so when we baptized, and in fact, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 is the only place in Scripture where it refers to baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now go back with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 again. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Praise God. Amen. Who can wash away my sins? Or what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Who can save me? No one but Jesus. Amen. What name do I call upon? The name of Jesus. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. There's only one place to put your faith, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. Where is your faith tonight? But he didn't stop there. We die with him. And then the scripture says we are buried with him. Romans chapter 6 again. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism. That's right. We are buried with him by baptism. So we die with him in repentance. The old man dies. But we know that when something dies, it has to be buried, because unless there is a death and a burial, there really can't be a resurrection. The term resurrection, or the idea of a resurrection, to stand up again, it requires a death and a burial. That's why Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again, to show us that he has the key and the pathway to salvation for each and every one of us. Now I'm preaching from the first day of the New Testament church, because he said to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission. That word remission means blotting out or washing away. I don't have time to go into all the places where the water washed away the hindrances to the people of God and all of that. But once we die with him and we are buried with him, then he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Romans chapter 6 again, we are buried with him in baptism, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, we also should walk in a newness of life. What happened when he came forth from the dead? Were folks just kind of sitting there and saying, oh, hi, Jesus. Give me five, Jesus. No, they weren't doing that. They fell on their face as though they were dead. The Roman soldiers couldn't even talk. It was such a traumatic experience. The people that came and saw the reality of the resurrection, their life was changed forever. Praise God, they turned their world upside down. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, we've got a great gospel here tonight. We've got a great truth, and if it can't bring revival, nothing can bring revival. Amen. Except we are born again of the water and of the Spirit. That's why Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. But he didn't just say he was the resurrection. He proved it by raising a man named Lazarus from the dead who'd been dead for 4 days.
Right.
Proving that he is our resurrection tonight. Amen. It's all in him. Praise God.
Amen.
I said it's all in him tonight. Amen. In Matthew 11 and verse 5, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to him. Is there any poor here tonight? Amen. I got my hands up. Praise God. We need to be poor in spirit, because it's the poor that have the gospel preached unto them. Amen. He's the only one tonight that can command the wind and the waves. Not only does he command them, but they obey him. Praise God. I just feel to go in another direction here tonight. Amen. There's wind and water in somebody's life here tonight. I want you to know he is the master of the wind and the water. But it makes a difference tonight where you have put your faith. Amen. What is the object of your faith? Where is your faith? Well, my faith is in this, that, or the other. I just feel like I need to tell somebody here tonight, get your faith in Jesus.
Amen.
Call upon him and ask him to help you. And the day will come when you can say, the Lord help me. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. Let's stand together tonight. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. Where is your faith tonight? What do you believe tonight? What is the center focal point of your faith? These signs shall follow them that believe. believers don't follow signs, but signs follow believers. I've got to say it again, but my daughter, they took an x-ray of her lung and they found a spot on her lung. And they told her that. She called on the phone crying. And we prayed together on the phone. We went to her CAT scan and all of that. And in the middle between the x-ray and the CAT scan, we were in a service. People were praying. And we anointed her and we prayed for her in the name of Jesus. And when we prayed for her, God healed her completely. And the doctor called her up and she said, I've got a picture here where there's a tumor or a spot, and I've got a picture over here where there's nothing. You don't have to worry about anything at all. You know why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about somebody else's testimony 30, 40, 50 years ago. I'm talking about a God that's alive tonight. In my name they shall cast out devils. Have you got a devil in your life tonight that needs to be cast out of your life? I'm telling you, I pastored in Farmington, New Mexico, pastored amongst about 100,000 Navajo Indians. And by the way, the pastor of the church is going to be with us here in the middle of March. And I'm looking forward to that. But there was a lady that came to our church service, and she was sitting there. The Holy Ghost began to move. I didn't know this at the time, but the woman was demon-possessed. Excuse me. And that's not unusual in that area because there is much witchcraft. And she was possessed with the devil, and, excuse me, and the spirit that was in her would rise up at different times. And she could literally pick up an adult male and cast him across the room. She was so out of control that they put her in a hogan out in the desert. A hogan is just a mud hut. If you've never seen one, it's really interesting. Kind of like an igloo, only it's made out of mud. And she was there in the service, and she was speaking something. You know, when folks start speaking something we don't understand, we wonder if it's the Holy Ghost. But there was another Indian lady there, and I went back to pray for this lady, and she said she is speaking from the devil. She's saying things, she was cursing and saying things that were not of God. And we laid hands on her and we began to pray in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden the power of God came upon her and she began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And I asked the lady, I said, is she still speaking in Navajo? She said, no, I don't understand what she's saying. And God delivered her of that devil. Praise God. You got a devil haunting you tonight. You don't have to live underneath that. I said you don't have to live underneath that. Amen. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. And it's not made up and it's not taught. But it comes from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Charlie, when I was teaching him a Bible study, he saw the need to be baptized, and so we took him to get baptized. At that point, we didn't have a baptistry yet, and we took him to get baptized. This is all right, Brother Charlie, and I'm going to tell it anyway. Praise God. And we didn't have music. We didn't have lights. We didn't have smoke coming off the altar. We didn't have props. We didn't have something to get everybody excited. We just had a baptistry and a few men that showed up at our neighbor's church. And it was about midnight, I think, somewhere close to midnight. And we baptized him in Jesus' name, but he knew nothing about the Holy Ghost. He didn't understand anything about a move of God. And when he came out of the water, he was speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And I think it was about a half an hour later he stopped and staggered back to change his clothes. God is real tonight.
Amen.
They shall speak with new tongues. Try to cast that off. Well, they're going to speak a different way. They're going to be happy. Yeah, that's all true, but they're going to speak in tongues like they did in the book of Acts chapter 2. They shall take up serpents. Now, don't worry, we don't have snakes in boxes here tonight. That's not what that's talking about. That's talking about demons. They shall take up serpents, like Paul when the serpent came out of the fire and latched itself upon him. He shook it off and there was no harm. They shall drink any deadly thing and it shall not hurt them. When I was helping the ministry in Boston, I got a call about 11 o'clock at night, and Jimmy Brayman, I was reminded of him this morning when I woke up, and maybe the Lord just wanted me to tell that tonight, but I got a phone call about 11 o'clock at night, and Jimmy's girlfriend said, Jimmy's on an LSD trip. He was teaching a Bible study to some friends, and they slipped some LSD into his coffee, and he's on a high. We need you to come and pray right now. Well, it woke me up out of sleep, and I wasn't feeling too spiritual. But as I was driving over to where he lived, which was about 45 minutes from where I lived, and it was in one of the, if not the most roughest areas of Boston, murders, drugs, everything was taking place in there. And I showed up about 11:30, quarter to midnight, and went in. And on the way over there, God gave me this scripture in Mark chapter 16, where it says, they shall drink any deadly thing and it shall not hurt them. And I walked in and I quoted that scripture. And I said, Jimmy, the word of God says this cannot stay in you. God is going to heal you right now. And I had never prayed for anybody. I was just young in the ministry. I had never prayed for anybody and there was no miracles. But as I stepped out by the word of God and by faith, God touched him. We prayed and in 60 seconds, his eyes were not dilated anymore. There was not big red circles around his eye. He was not trembling anymore. And he was speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. Deliverance came. I'm telling you, I'm not preaching something off the top of my head tonight. I'm preaching something that is biblical. And it works. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. And get ready because we're going to pray again tonight. And I believe that God's going to come down in here and touch somebody. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28. And God hath set some in the church. First, apostles. Everybody said apostles. Secondary, prophets. Everybody said prophets. You know, a lot of folks, well, we're not going to go there. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. Everybody said teachers. So what do we have? We have apostles, we have prophets, and we have teachers. Why? So that we can be grounded by the Word of God. So that we don't get off into weird things, strange doctrines, strange spiritual happenings. Amen. We've got to stay founded upon the gospel. We've got to have our foundation solid. And we have a solid foundation here tonight. Amen. You know the gospel. We preach the gospel. And so we have that foundation. But I want you to know there's more to it than just preaching and prophesying and teaching. After that, everybody said after that.
After that.
Amen. After that, miracles. Somebody said miracles.
Miracles.
Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and then diversity or different kinds of tongues. Praise God. God is real. My pastor's wife was going to Bible college when she was just a young girl. She had the Holy Ghost. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. Was going to go to Bible college. And she left her home church after a service. And in that service, there was a move of God. And the Holy Ghost began to move on her, and she stood up in the congregation and began to speak in tongues. And she spoke in tongues for a little while, and then she stopped. And some say, well, you're not supposed to do that unless there's an interpreter. That's not really biblical, because there is one place where it talks about diversities of tongues, different kinds of tongues, that one of them is for the unbeliever, that they may believe that God is here. Well, there was no interpreter. And they thought, well, she's just excited about going to Bible college and got carried away, talking in tongues. And she left. The next service, a Spanish family came that was in that service where she spoke in tongues. And they looked around and they asked some of the folks, they said, where's the young girl that preached to us in Spanish? And they said, there's no young girl here that preaches and that knows Spanish. Yes, she preached to us in Spanish. And the more they asked, the more they realized it was Netta Gay. And she stood up and she was preaching to them in Spanish.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, tonight, I serve a God that's real.
Amen.
I serve a God that's real. I serve a God that knows exactly what He is doing. And you know, it doesn't matter if there's wind and water in your life tonight. I just have to ask you the question again, where is your faith?
Amen.
Where is your faith? The boat is rocking. There's all kinds of trouble here and there and everywhere. Lord, we're taking on water. We're going to perish. We're going to perish. But there's a preacher here tonight that's telling you, you're not going to perish. If you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, be baptized in His name, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, I want you to know tonight that all of a sudden there's going to be a calm. Hallelujah. A calm. The wind is going to cease. The waves are going to cease. And in one place it says there was a great calm. The sea looked like glass. It was so calm. And you know why there was trouble? You just go ahead and study that scripture out and read the rest of that story. I believe that storm was from the devil. Go to the book of Job, and Satan was able to cause a mighty wind to knock over the house of his children. He has the power to do that if God allows it. But on the other side of the sea, which really is not a big sea, it's really a large lake. I've been on it, but it's just really a large lake. But on the other side, in the Gadarenes, in the area of the Gadarenes, there was a man that was possessed with over 2,000 demons. He lived in the tombs. If you notice in Scripture, Jesus said in many places, don't tell anybody what's happened to you. Don't tell anyone what's happened to you. But in a few places, He tells them, He's calling them to preach. And there are preachers that are called of God. Shows up on the shore, and all these demons cry out from Him and says, why have you come to torment us before the time? And Jesus said, be quiet. come out of the man. And he said, what is your name? And they said, we are Legion, for we are many. He was naked. His hair was matted. He was cut all over his body. He was a wild man that lived in the cemetery, in the tombs. Praise God. The reason there was trouble is because there was something on the other side. Something on the other side that God was about to do. He was about to call a man to preach. And he went and he preached and he published everything that was done. And the people were afraid because this was such a mighty, mighty miracle. And when Jesus showed up on the shore, they said, leave us. We don't want you around here. This is too real for us. But then if you read in Scripture another place, he came back to the Gadarenes, the same place, and they all came, accepted him, and listened to what he had to say.
Amen.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Lord, we thank you tonight. I thank you for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for your holy presence that's here tonight. And I know that you're not finished in this service, but God, you have something here for someone. If it's a healing, Lord, we pray for healing tonight. Amen.